I want to talk today about Jesus is the light. Let there be Christmas lights. See what I did there? Not just let there be light, let there be Christmas lights. The reason I say it that way is because this. I grew up, my mom celebrated everything. She was the queen of celebration. We would get Groundhog Day cards in the mail. I'm not joking. She just celebrated everything. She was the kind that loved to celebrate. Well, Christmas, though, now that was a whole different deal. That was Jesus' birthday, and my mom went nuts for Jesus' birthday. So everything that was crazy in her celebrations when it came to Christmas, it was the ultimate. So she would do, like, every year we had this tradition where we would go up into the attic, and we would pull down the dark army green wooden navy footlockers that had all of our Christmas decorations stored in it. From the time I was a little teeny child, we had all the... How many of you know what I'm talking about? You still have the same traditional ornaments. And as a kid, you're looking for that specific one, and I get to put up this one, and everybody has their own little ornaments that's kind of their favorite. And we go... I go back... Now, I'm totally going to date myself. I go back when tinsel actually had weight. Yeah, it wasn't this cheap Mylar balloon stuff. Shredded Mylar balloons that they put on trees nowadays. I went back to when, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It had weight. It actually had lead in it. I believe it was highly toxic and poisonous. And so that's probably a little bit why I'm a twisted mess to this day. But yeah, it was a wonderful thing. And my mom was nuts. And I'm going somewhere with this. But this is the time of year where it just seems like the world just comes to light. My mom we were decorating. We all had our favorite things that we like to do. And my mom would, candles everywhere. Candles and lights. And how many of you decorate like that? You just go crazy. We wouldn't have any normal lights on the entire Christmas season. It was always candles or other lights. You know, there was another, or a fire. Anyway, we would get everything decorated. Then my mom would kick us out because it was time for her to do the tinsel. And none of us were allowed to do the tinsel. Because we would just grab a chunk and throw it up on the tree, and it was that's not how you do tinsel. She would take literally one strand at a time, start at the bottom branch, go all the way in as far as she could. She'd drop one up, she'd lay it over there, and it'd be even. And she'd go about every inch on every stinking branch. Right? Well, I didn't appreciate it for what it was, but it would be hours. And we would go play, go do something. We would go do whatever we had to do. And then we would have this grand reveal. You want to come see the tree? And she would gather us all together. And we'd go out into the living room and see the tree. And we walk out. And I'm not even joking. Angels. Oh, just the bright light. The thing was unbelievably bright. Now, the interesting thing is the reason she did the tinsel the way she did was because a couple of pieces of tinsel and then one single light, it makes it look like there's more than one light. And so there may have only been 50 lights on the tree, but it looked like 8 million lights were on that tree because all those pieces of tinsel were reflecting the light. There's something about the light of Christmas. There's something about the fact that Jesus Christ came into a very dark world and brought his light. He is the light of life. Amen? He's the light. And everywhere we look this Christmas season, I want us to be reminded that the light has come. So all the lights, those are reminders that the light has come into this planet. It's not just about the trappings or the prettiness of Christmas. How many of you are going to get in your car and you're going to go find a Christmas tree lane somewhere? And we went to one last year, I think it was. It was really cool down in somewhere, Santee. Anyway, how many of you like going and looking at Christmas lights? Just a few of you? The rest of you are like Scrooges? Okay. All right, we'll pray for you. What I'm saying is this. Appreciate the light has come into our world. The scripture is important to note today and appropriate today in this first sermon to note that Jesus didn't just bring the light. Jesus is the light. I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus is the light. And the light has come. No matter how spectacular the Christmas tree lane is going to be, or even how spectacular your tree at your house is going to be, or how spectacular we got a little photo area back there for you to take pictures with your family after church all throughout the Christmas season. No matter how pretty all that is, it doesn't even come close to comparing to what God sent to this planet over 2,000 years ago in the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I remember the scripture. You remember the story of the religious leaders who caught the woman in the very act of adultery. Now, she was obviously in sin, and the law demanded that there was punishment for sin. And Jesus stood alone with that very sinful woman in that moment as her accusers were standing there. And as he began to write in the sand, and all of her accusers began to kind of walk away. Right after he told her that, he said, "Where are your accusers?" She looked around. He said, "I don't condemn you either." Jesus, the one who could have condemned her, the light who could have shined and put a spotlight on her sin, he chose not to do that. He chose to cover it with his love and with his grace. Every time the light of Jesus shows up, he shows up with love and grace and mercy. We think of the light coming as like some sort of accusatory thing, like a big spotlight on you, just kind of almost burn you if you're not, right? I guess it's fair to say that Jesus is not just a light, but he's the brightest light. He is the source of all light. I love that Jesus says this when he speaks. He says, "Your accusers aren't here." He says, "I don't accuse you either." And then he goes on to say, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You've been stumbling around in your own dark little world. If he's speaking to her, and he's basically saying, "I'm going to bring you light, and you don't have to stumble around any longer. I'm thankful for a God who has a light. He's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's the one that leads me and guides me." John's most well-known and most read of the four Gospels, it begins this way. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Who was the Word? You notice it's capitalized, Jesus. "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made." You see that? "Through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Indeed, all things were made through Jesus Christ." He was the one through whom God spoke light into the very existence. It was in the very third verse of the Bible where God spoke light into existence. Through Jesus Christ, he spoke that light. And so every light bulb, every bulb on every Christmas tree, these colored lights behind me, the projector, all of this stuff even exists because Jesus is the light. He is the source of all light. All the particles that make up the things that make up what we call light come from the Father of lights. Amen? Not only that, Jesus knew that he was the spiritual light. So he didn't just come in to illuminate. He came in to bring healing and restoration and deliverance. He's the spiritual light who comes into the world, into a spiritually dark world. Here comes Jesus on the scene. He comes in, and just like with the prophecy that I read earlier, speaking of hope, they were waiting patiently, and here comes Jesus on the scene. For years, when you think about the Old Testament law, there's a real sense that the law just points at darkness. But see, what happens is the law, it's a lot like a magnifying glass. It can just kind of magnify the sin, but it really can't fix it. The light can fix it. The law can't fix it. It's the light of Jesus that'll fix what's wrong with you. No matter where you find yourself, what situation you're in, it's the light of Jesus that can fix you, not the law. The law is an accuser. I love the scripture here, that he's the spiritual light of the world. And he brought new life into this old system. So here's this. Everyone knew this woman was a sinner. They brought her in the very act, caught her in the very act. I always wonder, where was dude? They didn't bring dude. Sorry if that's too folksy for you. But where was the guy at? There they are. They bring her in the very act of, they knew she was a sinner, and there was judgment and there was law for this particular sin. But Jesus comes and he brings spiritual light and brings new life to her. John says it was him. In him was life, and that life was the light of the world. The amazingly great news at Christmas is that Jesus is still showing up in people's lives. He's still showing up in Dean's life. He's going to show up in my back. He's showing up in my back. He's showing up in your life. He's showing up in your finances. This is a time of year where people struggle with a lot of different things. And I don't want to discount your struggling, but the darkness you're going through doesn't come close to the light of Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the light of Jesus. The adulterer, this woman, was trapped in her darkness. But not only that, she was trapped in the darkness of her sin, her shame, but even in the social darkness. People knew her. People might know you. They know that some of your family members know a lot about you. It's okay. Just keep shining the light. You're a little bit like the tinsel. You're not the light. Even though Jesus said you are the light of the world, what did he mean by that? Well, you're not. You actually don't. You don't do any light. You don't wake up and go, I'm light. You're not light by yourself. You're light through Jesus Christ. You're the light of the world. But we're like the tinsel on the tree. We just reflect Jesus. Let's reflect the light of Christ. Let's all do our job to reflect the light of Christ. That's the good news, that Jesus Christ came into this world to not condemn us of our sin, but to free us from our sin and to bring light. He showed a light. Not only that, he kind of showed a light, not just in the situation, but the condemning crowd got to see the light too. His light brought out what they were doing as well. The good news is that after he offered and sent this woman away forgiven, he said, your sins are forgiven, don't sin anymore. He says this, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In other words, you've been doing it your way long enough. I'm coming along and I'm going to flip the switch. Anybody ever been in a dark room, like a really dark room, and you were desperate for someone to flip the switch? Yeah. Jesus comes along and he flips the switch on us. He shows up in our world. He shows up in your world. And that's half the battle now is for us as his followers. What is God calling us to do? Show up. We should show up and we should show off the light of Christ. Amen. Every one of us. In John's prologue to this gospel, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know what I love about that word overcome? It's the same word that's used when the scriptures are talking about a demon-possessed boy that's brought before Jesus. The word possessed there is the word overcome. It's the word overcome. He was overcome by this demon-possessed boy. And the story goes like this. He says, teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Notice this, though. The word there is possessed. He was overcome. In other words, the boy was overcome by an evil spirit. And the light shows up, and the boy starts freaking out. Why? Because demons can't handle the light. That's why 2 weeks ago I said to you, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's how you can resist the devil and be free from the devil. You can submit yourself to God. Because when you get in the presence of God, just like we did in our worship service, the enemy has to go. Amen. He has to flee. He's got to leave you alone. Whatever joy he was trying to steal is restored in the presence of God. He says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it at all. It's kind of ironic if you think about it. He's presenting the boy. There's my boy. He's possessed. He's presenting this boy that's stuck in darkness to light. It's like it's just automatic. Jesus does what he does. And in fact, he says these words. He goes, if you'll have pity on us, if you can heal us, if you can. And Jesus looks back and says, if you can. Kind of like, do you not know who I am? Jesus is the light. In fact, he goes on to say, everything is possible for the one who believes. Do you believe that this morning? Everything is possible. So you have family members and friends and loved ones who are away from God, and you don't know how they're ever going to come back to God. You don't have to worry about it. Just light, shine, love, lead with love. You don't have to yell at them even. You don't have to hit them with the Bible. Just lead with love. They're not possessed. They're overcome by darkness in their life. They're distracted by the darkness in their life. They're enjoying their sin right now. But just be praying that the light that's in you shines in their dark world. The good news at Christmas is no matter how dark it gets. Now how dark, the darkness can't comprehend the light. There's almost a mental game we play. Like there's these spiritual forces of darkness, and then the spiritual forces of light, and they're in a war with each other. I got news for you. They're not. The light or the darkness is not a match at all. Hit the blackout button, Aaron. It won't go black, but just like, okay, it's not black, but you get it. Now, that's darkness in our world. But the darkness doesn't stand a chance. Hit it again. That's pretty good. Almost the same timing. Darkness doesn't even stand a chance. Because when the light shows up, darkness has to squirm. Darkness has to flee. Your sin, your sickness, your shame, your disease, it all has to flee. Because the light has come into your world. It's not like this. I get it in some sense. Like Carmen has the song, The Champion. You remember the song, The Champion? And Satan and Jesus are in a boxing match. And Jesus comes out the champion. It's not even a close battle. There's no battle between darkness and the light. Not in that sense. Jesus is the light of the world. With God, all things are possible, and I have his light living on the inside of me. Jesus is the light of the world, and he knows exactly what I'm struggling with. He knows exactly what you're struggling with. That light, he's not blinded. He's not freaked out by your sin. He sees every bit of it, and he loves you right through it. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. And if you follow this light, you'll never lose sight of what's important. You'll always have the light of Christ. He says, if you feel any sense of shame from something you might have done in your past, or you feel a sense of weight of shame in your life, know that Jesus is the light of the world. If you're here today and you feel that at all, any sense of that, like, I've sinned, I've fallen short. Know this, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. Every single one of us has blown it. But today, forgiveness is here for you because Jesus' light is shining. He's shining on you. He says, just like he said to this woman, I don't condemn you, I love you. And he says, I love you with an everlasting love. I love that, everlasting. You know what that means? Everlasting. It's not going away. He loved you long before you knew about it. He loved you long after you know about it. He still loves you. Or perhaps you're here today and maybe you feel, worship team, I want you to come. Maybe you feel like somewhat like the sun who's stuck in darkness. Maybe, you're not demon possessed, but you're kind of like caught between a rock and a hard place. It's gotten dark in your situation. And understand this, that God sees that. I love that from the message last week. We serve a God who sees us. God not only just sees you, but he wants to do something about what you're going through. He is the light. He sees it. And listen to this scripture. You know the scripture. Understand, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was the light that came into the world back then, he's still the light today. And here's what the scripture says to us. God so loved the world, you know the scripture, that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. So we should stop doing that, by the way. Because I'm not going to do what the Father said that the Son didn't come to do. I'm not here to condemn the lack. I'm somebody that can condemn the world. I have the word. I know what God says. But that's not even what God. God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, the greatest magnifying glass to ever exist that could point out all of the problems of sin in this world didn't show up to point out the problems, that showed up to solve the problem. To bring light into the situation. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because you've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. So here it is. We don't read on sometimes. You know that scripture, but what about this one? Here's the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. And will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. You know what's interesting about that last line? You've heard that line. It goes like this. Oh, I don't know if I should ever go to church. That place would probably burn down. You thought they're scripturally right there. There's that line. Let me read it again. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. You know what? I wish I knew exactly what was wrong with my back. Don't you wish you knew exactly what was wrong with your life? Let the light of Jesus shine into your world so it shows you what's wrong so you can turn around. That's what repentance is all about. He says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of the God. Yes, Jesus is the light of the world. Now, the light may not fix your problem, but it'll certainly illuminate it and give you a better perspective on it. Oh, that was good, Pastor. Thank you. I was waiting for Jack to say something. Right? It may not fix it, but it'll sure help you. Hey, can I get a light? I'm trying to fix it. We all know what that's like. He is that light. And know this, because he's the light of the world, what God, here's the thing. Maybe I came to say this, if nothing else. What God has in front of you is way brighter than the darkness that's behind you. The shame and the sin and all that despair. What God has for you is in front of you. He is the light shining in the darkness. And because of that, we can rejoice this Christmas. Amen. Would you stand?